Hello and welcome to Escape into Storytelling. I'm Jennifer Bradley, and this is a chapter from my self-published novel, Virago. New episodes drop each Monday, and all chapters will be available at the end of the book. As always, there is no charge. Virago is intended for a mature audience, and today's episode contains language and violence. If you missed last week's episode, it is available from the same podcast source. Now please, sit back and escape into storytelling with me in today's episode. Chapter 14, Moonlit Forest Adventures. Neville woke at sundown. He sat up in the Ann and Bell's hay loft, brushing chaff from his clothes. Yawning, he put on his boots and started down the steps. Midway, he paused and came back up. He rummaged in his rucksack for a moment and then produced a cheap, foot-long dagger with a wooden handle. He stuck it through his belt and left, whistling. Soon he was outside the city walls. There was no one on the road, but the sound of the nearby surf drowned out his footsteps. The sea cliffs were only a stone's throw away through a screen of trees. Cliff face frowned down on the other side across a ditch. He spied a familiar figure sauntering in the moonlight. "Hey, you old sod," he said, tapping Carver's shoulder. The old gambler flinched away so hard he fell in the ditch. "Blast damn you, Neville!" Astonished, Neville raised his hands. "Sorry, what's got you so wound?" Carver lay on the ground, gasping and clutching his chest. "Never you mind. Help me up, at least." Neville pulled the old gambler up. "What's the matter?" Carver waved his hands at their surroundings. "This is the matter. I hate trees and bloody dark roads and being outside the walls." He reached up to resettle his hat, knocked it askew, and then smashed it down on his head. "A man's got no place in all these bloody trees and wilderness. Some wretched animal could make off with you and no one ever know. At least in the city, if you're murdered, they find you. Eventually. Usually. Most of the time." "I hadn't thought of that. Anyway, this is a long way from the wilderness. I can still smell the city." "And I'm a jolly long way from giving a shit what you'd call this. How do you stand it, being in those bloody wagons for months on end, the middle of nowhere?"
"Yeah.
Well, you've bigger plums than I'll admit." They fell into step. The air was cool, the road empty. Carver's grumbling filled the darkness with an odd kind of bad-tempered cheer. Neville smiled to himself and decided to fuel Carver's angry little fire.
"And I'm younger and handsomer, too."
As they stepped into the moonlight, Carver cut him a strange glance.
"What?"
The man shook his head, his feather wobbling.
"Nah, just jumpy out here. Anyway, probably ought to keep it down. Don't know who might be listening."
Night birds called. Except for the waves on the cliffs, there was no other sound. They walked in silence for almost 40 minutes before a man stepped out from behind a rock. He casually brandished a spiked club, and a knife was stuck through his belt. A spider's web was tattooed around his right eye, two of its strands touching his ear and jaw. Both men raised their hands.
"We heard you were looking for some extra hands, that it might be a busy night."
Satisfied by the password, the man nodded and then jerked his thumb at a deer trail. It led away from the road toward the sound of the sea.
"That way, you'll see the torches."
The way they made through the trees was slow and careful. Their night vision and the bright moonlight helped, but there was still a constant stream of muttered swearing as they tripped over rocks, barked their shins on logs, and were clawed by branches. Finally, they saw the glow of torchlight up ahead. 11 men waited around 2 wagons. Neville's entire body felt clenched as he forced his legs to carry him forward. When they emerged into the orange circle of light, several men put hands to their various weapons. A squarish, partially squashed head turned toward them. Sawtooth Remiel was leaning against the side of a wagon, only 10 feet away. The lopsided mouth split into a mirthless grin, his leathery lips disgorging a line of peg-like teeth. He gave a nod, and the rest of the group relaxed. Neville took a hesitant step back at the sight of Remiel, but Carver grasped his arm. Steady, lad, steady. Some good money to be made here. Neville opened his mouth to argue, but Remuel cut him off. The disfigured gangster took several long strides toward Neville. There was a flash and a knife blade touched his throat. Damn you, Carver, he's gonna cut my throat after all. The gangster raised a finger to his mouth. The knife disappeared and Remuel returned to the side of the wagon. All were silent, their eyes clear and wary. A smell of nervous sweat filled the air. Several bales of hay lay around and a few men sat on them. The minutes stretched on. Horses snorted or shifted position. An owl hooted and the endless waves pressed on the shore. Beyond the shining gray of the beach was a cove. A narrow mouth opened on the ocean, across about 100 feet of water. Blue moonlight showed the cove's rocky sides, and white ribbons of foam clustered and bunched around their bases. Something dark appeared on the water. A dinghy, rowed by a single figure, bobbed on the waves. Another boat trailed behind it, tethered to the first. In the time it took for the little boat to cross the cove, Neville felt he aged 5 years. Once the boat struck the sand, the figure stood and put one foot on the beach. The men stepped forward into the moonlight. A figure Neville hadn't noticed stood up by the wagons. Good gods, I thought he was a short man standing there. He's 7 feet tall, at least. Who are you with? A figure from the boat called, as if not outnumbered 10 to 1. The giant at the front responded.
Sly Skinners. I'm Anders.
Something with small, cold feet skated across Neville's nerves. I was standing 10 feet away from the second-in-command of the biggest gang in the city. Angry Anders. He's made more bodies than the gods, they say. Anders was swollen with hard muscle, his shoulders broad and his arms thick. In the moonlight, his black tattoos crawled against shirtless, pale skin. His head was shaved, and a leather thong hung around his neck. Neville shuddered. The figure by the boats nodded at the name and jerked ahead toward the sea.
The ship's at anchor, just offshore. The crew are out, drugged on soft sorrow, and the captain's waiting.
Within minutes, the two boats were rowing back across the cove, this time laden with 4 men each, all bristling with weapons. Anders went with them, his powerful shoulders propelling the boat as if it were being towed by a sea monster. Remuel had stayed behind to mind the wagons and drivers.
Them boats are coming back full. When they get here, you unload them and load these wagons as fast as you can.
Soon one of the boats bobbed on the surf, laden with the dark shapes of crates and barrels. The boat coasted to a stop and the men waded into the water to get to work. As he worked, Neville's blood pounded in a rhythm that had nothing to do with the heavy crates. With every step, he expected voices to shout, "Halt! Who goes there?" and feel a strong hand grasp his shoulder, or an arrow go through his back. The crate's unfinished edges cut into his hands, leaving splinters he would only become aware of later. To wonder what was in the crates never, ever occurred to him. A horse snorted and he staggered, struggling to hang on to the crate. It knocked against the side of the wagon with a loud bang. Remuel aimed a hushed, unintelligible curse at him. By the time the first group were returning in the rowboats, Neville and Carver were panting and covered with oily sweat. Neville's knee was tightening up, and Carver had a hand on his lower back, his face twisted as he stifled a moan. Anders stepped ashore and came to inspect their work. His face was handsome, with broad cheekbones and a full mouth. His small dark eyes roved over Neville with the same lack of interest as a butcher looking over a sow. He nodded.
Pay them.
Remuel turned his lopsided grin on them.
Good job, boys. Well done.
5 coins fell into each man's hand. Another man lifted a long bundle from the wagon seat. It looked like a rolled-up blanket. He shook it out and laid it out over the crates. The bales of hay were untied and broken up, and spread over the blanket. Once they were done, it looked like nothing more than a hay wagon. A thorough search wouldn't have fooled anyone, but from a distance of a few feet, it would serve. Carver had a hand to the small of his back.
Thank you kindly, he said, wincing as he straightened.
You need work. You come see me. Now go get a good back rub. You got the money.
There was a hiss, a thud, and an arrow sprouted from the side of the wagon. Whistles sounded. Down! Carver shouted, dropping. He reached up and grabbed Neville's wrist, pulling the tinker down in a heap of curses. Carver scuttled under the wagon like a crab, dragging Neville with him. Shouts and the hiss-thunk of arrows fell among the clearing. One man grunted, another screamed. A horse nickered and pranced in place, rocking the wagon overhead.
The torches! Put out the torches! Fucking idiots!
The clearing plunged into darkness. Dark shapes of men blundered about, night-blind, and the horses neighed and stamped. A horn blew, freezing everyone.
What was that? Carver hissed. Who the hell's out there? The watch?
Neville opened his mouth to reply, and another sound cut him off. Hoofbeats.
Bloody hell!
Carver covered his head with his hands. A troop of 5 mounted horsemen thundered into the clearing, swords drawn and gleaming in the moonlight. Neville heard another scream and a sharp, ha! The wagon creaked and gave a lurch.
Our cover! It's driving away!
Carver staggered to his feet. The sound of hoofbeats speared Neville's nerves. Without thinking, he reached up and yanked the gambler down on top of him. Carver went down spewing curses, his weight knocking Neville's wind out. A storm of pounding hooves and a flashing blade passed overhead. Neville saw the inside of the horse's hoof and the nail heads holding the shoe in place, inches from his face.
I took this job to avoid being killed by a mad horse.
He almost... Carver's face was a white patch in the darkness. Neville shoved Carver off and rolled onto his belly, pushing himself to his feet even as he coughed. He grasped the gambler's arm and hauled him up. The wagon roared away through the trees, Anders standing in the seat and whipping the horses for all they were worth. The other wagon had overturned, and the driver was screaming beneath it. The horse's harness broke loose of its mounts, and the team galloped off through the bushes in terror, still joined at the shoulder. 3 horsemen surrounded some of the bandits and held them at bay with swords drawn. The men stood with their hands up, except for one who was coughing through a mouthful of blood. Another 2 lay dead nearby. The horseman wheeled his mount around for another pass. The blade of his cutlass flashed in the night.
Country rules, lads! Country rules!
Forrest. Neville pointed into the waiting darkness.
It's our only chance.
The gambler looked at the wall of night under the trees and spared a glance back at the horsemen. Carver ran, dragging Neville behind him, and the 2 shabby figures disappeared under the branches. They found a stone bridge that crossed a gully and clambered down into the darkness. The banks were steep and offered protection, although being near the water made the chill air damp. They rested, listening.
He nearly cut my head off.
It was the longest phrase Carver had put together since they had stopped moving.
Who were they?
Neville shook his head.
I don't know. I thought the watch because of the horses, but the watch stops to ask questions.
I've never seen anything like it.
Neville nodded. A dim realization was growing in his mind, although he was doing his best to ignore it. Carver ran a trembling hand across his mouth.
You know what this means.
We're witnesses.
We know what happened.
Neville turned. It was dark under the bridge, but he still managed to find Carver and drag the gambler's face close to his own.
No, we don't. We weren't there. We didn't see anything. We don't know anything.
But Neville, you want to go around telling people what really happened? You want them to know you were there? That you remember faces and voices? You want to explain to the watch what we were doing there in the first place?
Be my guest, but leave me out of it. Anybody asks, you were there by yourself.
Carver was silent. Neville climbed to his feet.
Come on. We can't follow the road. It's not safe. We'll go through the woods back to the city.
The old gambler looked away, turning his hat around in his hands. At length, he sighed.
What the hell? I've always wondered what a moonlit walk in the woods is like. Come on, let's see what these singers are always on about, eh?
This concludes Chapter 14 of Virago. Stay tuned for the next episode, Chapter 15, Winston tries something new and Adelaide encounters a face from her past. If you want to read along, Virago will be available in abridged print or ebook format from Amazon later this year. If you enjoyed this work, please remember to like, share, and subscribe so you never miss an episode of Escape into Storytelling. Thank you for supporting independent and self-published authors like me. Until next time, be seeing you.